Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All righty, hour number two. What's going on? What's going on? Tiki Theory here, CBS Sports Radio. No TV today, no problem by us. And we're coming to you from our Rocket Mortgage studio. Whether you want to buy your home or refinance your current home, Rocket Mortgage helps you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. I can't tell you. Now, part of me, listen, I mean, I like to watch the guy play. We'll do this a little later, but I love that. I love that LeBron James cannot suit up at the Garden tonight. Not because it increases the chances for my team to win, which is part of it, but I know how much he loves playing on that Garden floor. The floor that he spurned because he was too afraid to tackle the challenge of trying to resuscitate the Knicks over the years. Instead, he walked in with his megastar teams, all right? He walked in with his self-assembled mega powers and trounced the Knicks and score 50, but never had the backbone to come to the Garden.
I don't think it was ever in the cards or ever in consideration for LeBron James.
It actually was. No, that's actually not correct, actually.
I'm telling you, it was. He was in Cleveland.
That's not the point. Just trust your partner on this, T. There was a moment.
And why didn't it happen?
It doesn't matter. The point is, I'm just transitioning to something we're going to talk about later. I'm just happy that he doesn't get to walk on the court tonight. I don't need to revisit the history of why he wasn't a Knick. I don't care at this point. Nobody else cares. I'm just thrilled that he's got to sit tonight. Because anytime LeBron's not happy, I'm a little bit happier. I admit, I get a little petty with that. I do. So the Hall of Fame ballot is out now, right? Teak, there's a lot of names. What I'm going to do, just as a jump off, I'll do this really quickly, right? I'm looking at it right now, and I won't even give you a description, because for me, a lot of this comes down to, like, your first reaction. First, what's your reaction? And then, obviously, we need to incorporate and process other things like synthetic and, non-authentic enhancements or whatever. I'm looking at the ballot now. All right. Here, I'm going to give you the names and I'm going to give you a yes or no if the guy should get in. Not if he will, if I think he's a Hall of Famer. You ready?
Okay, go ahead.
Just a little jump off period. All right. Bobby Abreu, no. Andrew Jones, yes. Manny Ramirez, yes. Barry Bonds, yes. Jeff Kent, yes. Alex Rodriguez, yes. Mark Burley, no. Tim Lincecum, no. Scott Rolen, no. Roger Clemens, yes. Justin Morneau, no. Jimmy Rollins, no. Carl Crawford, no. Joe Nathan, no. Kurt Schilling, yes. Prince Fielder, no. David Ortiz, yes. Gary Sheffield, yes. Todd Helton, yes. Jonathan Papelbon, no. Sammy Sosa, yes. Ryan Howard, no. Jake Peavy, no. Mark Teixeira, no. Tim Hudson, no. Andy Pettit, no. Omar Vizquel, no. Torrey Hunter, no. AJ Pierzynski, no. And Billy Wagner, no. Those are all the names.
Yeah.
And I know that there was a lot, but I did that for a reason. A lot of the yeses are obviously tainted. I mean, most of them were, actually.
Yeah, that's when you list it that way, that's what it sounds like. You're like, oh, yes, but hold on, there's a caveat. Like, yes, hold on, there's a caveat. It's almost a bunch of them. We have to start thinking, not just have to. I mean, they've been doing this for years now. You have to think about whether or not it's actually ever going to get past the minds of the baseball writers who vote them in and say, yes, we understand that this happened, but we're willing to look past it, and because you were a Hall of Famer. And I don't know if that's ever going to happen, BT, but today or this year is really the inflection point of it, right? It's either going to or not for a lot of those important names this year.
Oh, there's no question. And I'm going to get to some of those names a little bit more in a moment. But I think what makes this a really, really pivotal moment is that Alex Rodriguez and David Ortiz are both eligible on. They're both on the ballot for the first time.
Yep.
And I think they're going to be viewed very, very differently. And we know what happened to A-Rod with, what happened to A-Rod was, you think back, wow. He had like these $6 million benchmarks with when he passed Willie Mays, when he passed so-and-so. Yankees were going to pay him and... I mean, he left money on the table. He was suspended. He lied. Then he lied again. So A-Rod's very complicated. David Ortiz is different. Now, I know you were playing, and I was actually doing local radio at this point, so I was deep in the weeds on this, but this was really important. I think this matters now. So David Ortiz was, this goes back to a New York Times report back in 2009. He was reportedly a player who tested positive for PEDs in 2003, all right? Yeah. Now, it was supposed to be an anonymous survey to see if the league needed any sort of drug testing, kind of use that as a template, go from there, and then obviously they implemented the more formal testing in 2004. Now, Ortiz, basically first a Twin, then a Red Sox, played almost his entire career under the umbrella of drug testing, almost. However, that Mitchell, that 2003 supposedly, or what was supposed to be anonymous, when it leaked, David Ortiz's name was on that. And as a result, you know, listen, I've said it many times. Do I think that David Ortiz dabbled with whatever? I do, because I don't think his name would have been on that list if he did not. Now, is that commensurate with what the shenanigans of Alex Rodriguez? No, I think Alex Rodriguez was far worse because he did it, I think, more, and he certainly lied to our faces much more. But what I have an issue with, which is why I'm probably prepared to just swing the gates open and say, come on in to every one of these guys, is because David Ortiz is going to get in. And rightfully so. He was the modern Reggie Jackson, only better in October. Yeah. He's better than Reggie in October. Like Mr. October, the three bombs in 77, David against the Dodgers, David Ortiz was a better October performer than Reggie. Much better. And David Ortiz should get in and will get in, but for somebody that I suspected who took a shortcut, I don't like that he's elevated and romanticized and revered, and Alex Rodriguez and the others are held to a completely different standard.
Yeah, but I think it's a lot of that is because of David Ortiz. Well, first of all, I think most people generally like David Ortiz. You're right. There's very like few unlikable qualities about him. Actually, I can't even think of one off the top of my head other than the fact that he's a Red Sox, and that's because we're Yankees fans here at BT. But other than that, like, what's there not to like about, love about him, to be honest with you?
Yeah, but
like,
that's not the point, though.
I understand that. But because
he's affable? Big teddy bear, put him in.
But hold on, it is the point. Because you think about the other guys that you're talking about here. One is Alex Rodriguez. For the majority of his professional life, that's notwithstanding since he became a broadcaster and resurrected himself, etc., he was hated. He was just despised, right? The same thing could be said about Barry Bonds, mostly because of the cheating stuff and the fakeness of Alex Rodriguez. But Barry Bonds was an ass to everybody. Just to everybody. I told you I met him once in Vegas, and it was just kind of like, it was just like, why should I say hi to you type of thing? You know what I mean? It was just weird, man. I'm like, dude, I don't even care, right?
Yeah.
It's just how he treated people. Hmm. Manny Ramirez seems like he's, I don't know, a head case. Fun and engaging, but it just seems like he's a head case and would always, you know, I don't know.
He's a little goofy.
Yeah, exactly.
He would do things that endeared him, like, that's Manny being Manny.
Yeah, exactly. But then it kind of got annoying. You know,
but
to me, he
was one of the greatest righty hitters I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about
right
it.
Right there now, Pujols, man, and Cabrera.
There's no doubt. He could hit anything. Like,
he was great.
He was putting his bat on the ball whether you wanted him to or not, right, type of thing. Roger Clemens is the other one. Now, I happen to like Roger because I've gotten to know Roger over the years, and we did a bunch of Thuzio things together back when we first started. And so I like Roger. I'm of the minority, but there's a lot of people who don't like him because they feel like he lied the whole time about this and made it aggressive in his lying. So,
yeah, no way, and that's what I subscribe to. I absolutely believe he lied. No question.
Right. And so I think when you look at these guys, other than Big Poppy, I mean, you don't like them, whereas Big Poppy, you're like, dude, I love this guy.
Let me ask you this thing.
He cusses when he, you know, the whole the bombing thing, you remember? And he comes back.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was just like awesome, man.
Yes. When he said, this is our bleep in town.
Yeah,
at Fenway,
exactly.
You know, that was great. That was a great moment.
And I even felt that. Like, and I'm
me too.
I don't even like the Red Sox.
Listen, as much as the guy torment, I mean, David Ortiz was... the best way, if you didn't see David Ortiz play in his prime, you know, like I'm talking like October moments, like David Ortiz was like a 15-year-old coming to bat, play wiffle ball with 7-year-olds. Like, you were terrified that somebody was going to get hurt.
That's good,
and it was only a matter of time before he ripped one in the trees over somebody's house in the backyard. Like, he was that good.
Yeah.
And I have profound respect for his hitting ability. The only thing that I, and but again, I'm putting him in. The only thing that I wrestle with is, what's the messaging there for America's youth? As long as you're affable and you smile, if you cheat, we'll look the other way. But if you're a jerk, we're going to hold it against you.
Yeah, but
that's
you also,
not consistent.
But you also state what you stated is a fact. Like that he spent so much of his career in the testing era. It wasn't like, you know, he was a decade in the steroid era and all of a sudden, you know, he just kind of shrunk. Right? He didn't. He kind of actually got better. In the steroid testing era, if you think about it, at least success-wise.
Well, he could have been taking HGH, Teak. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but I mean, I think.
He could have been.
But my point is,
anybody could have been, not just to say him.
My, I don't know. I have a different mindset on this than a lot of people do when it comes to, you know, what HGH is for, what its usefulness is, and whether or not it was accidentally or whatever, intentionally or accidentally, doesn't even matter.
There was no accidents back then in baseball. No.
I'm not talking about the using it, but lumped in with steroids as this performance enhancer when it's really, you know, largely historically been as used as a recovery aid, right?
Well, but think about this: if you can recover quicker, you can work out harder, which can get you theoretically stronger.
Yeah, but
because the muscles repair themselves quicker.
But there are natural ways to do that too.
But you know what? It's going to take a whole hell of a lot longer rather than just take a couple of pills or inject it. Mm. I mean, and listen, not to get too into the minutiae of what drugs they were ingesting. But I do want to point out one thing about David Ortiz that I think a lot of people obscure, flat out don't know, or conveniently don't remember. And it's this. The first 6 years of his career, he was with the Minnesota Twins, mm-hmm. okay? And now, just because an organization doesn't use you properly doesn't mean that you can't go to a second team and, you know, have a green monster and bang balls over that left and right because you have good opposite field power and pesky pole. You just rip it 320 feet. It's a home run. But it's actually smaller than that, much smaller than that. Right down the line, it's like 296, whatever it is. But so just because he was a bit player with the Twins doesn't necessarily, should not automatically give people a license to say, well, look at the uptick in performance when he went to Boston. Oh, my God, that's not natural. Well, while you can't say that that's absolute justification for saying that he's a cheat, you can't rule it out either because his first couple, just listen to this, you ready? And again, it's also a byproduct of how you're used. I understand that. 9 home runs, 46 RBIs, you know, 10 home runs, 63 RBIs, 18 home runs, 48 RBIs. That's at the age of 25. At the age of 26, in almost 130 games, he had 20 home runs. He batted .272 with 75 ribbies, right? Then he goes to Boston, and now all of a sudden you get 139 ribbies, .148, .137. He walks 120 times, leads the league, OPS, on-base percentage, MVP, All-Stars. You know, he's teamed up with Manny Ramirez, who was doing whatever he was doing. I don't want to say just necessarily guilt by association, but I think it's very naive, my own personal opinion, to believe that David Ortiz is pure. I don't believe he's pure. I don't believe he's as tainted as A-Rod, but I believe that there's an element of lack of authenticity to his achievement. Having said that, I throw my hands on the court. I have stopped fighting this. And it was I fought this forever. That's it. Let him in. Clemens, one of the best pitchers I've ever seen. Bonds, one of the best players I've ever seen. Poppy, one of the best hitters I've ever seen. Same with Manny. Same with A-Rod. The one guy that I can really, really challenge, because I saw him early and he wasn't quite that guy, would be Sammy Sosa.
Yeah.
Like, that's the guy, even when Mark McGwire came up and hit 49 home runs as a skinny bomb. He was at USC. He was on the Olympic team in 84. Like, Mark McGwire was a well-known commodity. He was 6'5". He was thin, but he had this incredible torque and leverage, hit bombs. And then he became, you know, Hulk Hogan, and he cheated as well. I give up. I'm not defending it anymore. Put him in. Let's close the book, write a new chapter, and let's keep it moving.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what I believe at this point.
I think you're right, and I think some of the statistics that you were throwing out about David Ortiz, they can be explained by some of the really good players that happened to be in Boston with Jason Varitek. He had 137 hits that year. Johnny Damon had 189 hits that year. Manny, who you mentioned, maybe he was cheating or not, whatever. He had 175. Like, they just had a really good lineup. And so as a result, there's a lot of guys on base when David Ortiz stepped into the box. So, of course, his RBI is going to jack up. And, you know, can't pitch around him, right? Because you have a good roster, right? So I think some of it can be explained away. I think a lot of it, though, to me, it still comes down to likability. Sammy is also on that list.
Who?
Not that Sammy's bad.
Sammy Sosa?
Yeah, not that you think poorly of him. He's just been odd.
Well,
right?
He's become a recluse here, and nobody like it. It's almost as if he's like a figment of our imagination.
That's right.
Like he wasn't even real. He's become
we don't even see him. Yeah, we don't see him anymore. And I mean, the only time we hear his name really is around this time of the year.
That's it.
Be perfectly honest with you. And so it's like who's going to bat for him, right? And I'm not saying that the baseball writers are, you know, having popularity contests, but I can't help but think that there is some influence on how these guys feel about these guys.
Of course there is. These guys take themselves too seriously, these writers. Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah, no, they flex with the pen and they flex with the ballot.
Yeah, I mean, we see that when they do ceremonial whatever it is they're doing. I'm not voting for this guy because whatever.
Well, think about it. Garrett Cole was the only vote for the Cy Young last week. Robbie Ray, he would have been unanimous, and you don't get unanimous every year. Now, I don't know that that was a personal thing, but it was somebody who used that ballot to make a point, because even as a Yankee fan, I mean, the last 3 weeks of the season, Garrett Cole pitched his way out of the award, and Robbie Ray deserved the award. So it's not like it was a justified vote first. It wasn't a justified first place vote, in my opinion. I watched him pitch both of them all year. Yep. Robbie Ray deserved the award.
Yep, I agree.
You know what I mean?
Are you surprised, actually, now you bring that up, that Ohtani was unanimous?
No.
Yeah, I mean, it would have had to have been intentional to not vote Shohei Ohtani as the MVP in the NBA.
I'm happy that they got that right.
Yeah,
you know,
me
the
too.
Other thing too, just to conclude this part of the conversation. By the way, you guys, I'd love to get some tweets. I'm sure there's a lot of people screaming, "Oh, you know, this guy calls himself a baseball guy, and now he's saying put them all in the Hall of Fame." That's fine. I'd love to read your thoughts. Get us on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. You want to get me individually? Go for it. I might even hit you back at Brandon Tierney. Here's the other name, and it's polarizing for totally different, actually a totally different reason, although some people think he may have experimented as well. I don't. That's Curt Schilling. Listen, I don't care. I don't give a damn what your political affiliation is. If you watched Curt Schilling pitch and you walk away not thinking that Curt Schilling deserves the extra 4% of the votes, even though he doesn't want it, he actually petitioned the committee, said, remember that?
Yeah.
If you think that Curt Schilling is not a Hall of Famer, I have zero respect for your baseball acumen. Zero. Less than 1%. It is literally a donut. Zero. Because you didn't watch him, and if you did watch him, you are not putting your personal biases aside. Curt Schilling was as good a big game pitcher as I've seen in my lifetime. And I've been watching baseball a long time, my man. You know that.
Yeah.
A long time. This guy was a beast. Now, I don't know what they do. You know, he got 71.1% last year, which was the highest mark that he's gotten, by the
way. That's right. That's right.
But he's been vocal. He's been vocal about, you know, hey, it's a crusade to, you know, they're attacking me. And now he's become, you know, very, very belligerent toward the voters. And I don't know how they handle this, but I would be... I actually, maybe my faith is going to be unfounded. I actually think that when it comes to Curt Schilling, all the nonsense, and he's put some crazy things out there, I think that Curt Schilling is going to get in. I do not believe he shows up? That I don't know, but I do not believe that there will be such a dereliction of responsibility on the part of the vote. I think that they'll actually get it right this time. They held his feet to the fire. They made him twist in the wind for 9 years. I actually think he gets the extra 4%.
We'll see. We'll find out.
We shall see, Tink. I get all nerdy with this stuff. Oh, I could do this all day. You know I love my baseball, brother. I don't even know what we're talking about next. What do we have next, Stugetz? Getting all worked up over here. Stugetz, what do we got next here? Give me a tease, will you?
Yeah, of course. We got the LeBron conversation.
Oh, LeBron. I could just keep rolling. It gets better. All right, so LeBron and the Stewart suspension handed down, but that they actually punished the wrong guy more. We're going to get to that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, Tiki and Tierney here, brought to you by Omaha Steaks. Go to omahasteaks.com to order the perfect gift package for $99.99 by entering Rome in the search bar. What happens if you enter Tiki and Tierney? I'm not sure. Perfectly aged, tender, and 100% guaranteed. That's omahasteak.com. Use search word Rome. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. So Rome will hook you up for the holidays, right? Get you some steaks. They have everything there.
Just enter Tiki and Tierney, just for the hell of it.
Yeah, see if anything happens. Watch.
Rejected.
Oh, rebate, 99 cents. We'll give you a corn muffin. All right, man. So, you know, it's funny because as a Laker now, you know, with the Heat, he'd roll in a couple times a year. With the Cavs, he'd roll in a couple times a year. But as a member of the Lakers residing 3,000 miles away from where you and I both live on the East Coast, LeBron only gets one trip into the Garden each year, and that one trip is tonight, and he's not playing, obviously, suspended here. Now, first of all, did you see how much money Isaiah Stewart was fined?
No, I did not. I saw he got two games.
Yep.
As opposed to LeBron's one. I also saw the story that it saves so much for the Lakers on the luxury tax.
About $500,000.
Yeah, which is just random, but yep. I guess whatever. It's kind of cool. But
I guess. What do you think they fined him, Stewart?
I'm going to say, so is whatever. It's not his game check.
No, independent of that.
I'm going to say they fined him the max, $50,000.
$970,000.
What?
Yeah.
How is that possible?
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you though, the NBA's got a racket going on, huh?
What?
They got some racket going on. Hey, hit him for $1 million. We need new desks.
Wow.
Are you $1 million? Yeah. I can't believe it.
That can't be right, can
Hold
it?
Hold on. Okay. No. Yeah. Isaiah Stewart has been fined $950,000. For the altercation with LeBron James last night, per Sham Sharania.
Wow!
Yeah.
Now, obviously, that's two game checks, right? And then the max. So
I don't know that that's two. No, because LeBron Stewart's not making that much money. He's not making $82 million. He's not making $40-something million a year.
But would he be making?
Think about it. Half of 82 is 41. Half of rounded off $1 million is $500,000. So
yeah, you're right.
There's no way that adds up. And the max is the $50,000. To my knowledge, that is in addition to
Wow. I mean, did they explain that? I mean, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, look at it. I got it. Okay, so James will forfeit about $393,000 in salary.
Yes.
While Stewart will lose $63,000. But he's still fined $950,000.
Dude.
That's incredible.
That is insane.
You know, it's actually, as much as I was with Stewart for this, it's the right message to send. You've got to... You know, dissuade any. Now, thank God that was diffused. That could have gotten ugly quick.
Oh, yeah. Like, if he would have actually got in front of whoever it would have been, whether it was LeBron who was running away from it, or let's say Russell Westbrook, who actually looked like he was trying to engage it. It's like, right, Russ, you might want to like pipe down, keep DeAndre Jordan in between you. But whatever. If he had gotten viciously in someone's grill, because it looked like this was a real fight. Mm-hmm. About to happen, as opposed to a hold me back type of mm-hmm. fight, which we always see in the NBA. Yeah, you have to send a message. But that's an enormous message for a kid that's just getting into the league.
Yeah, it really is. By the way, speaking of things that could have gone real ugly, I know you're not a huge wrestling fan. You see Seth Rollins attacked.
Yes.
Last night, for those who missed it, Seth Rollins was attacked by a fan who jumped out of, actually came running out of the dressing room area as Rollins was retreating from the ring, AEW event over at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. And I got to tell you, the fan kind of got the best of him a little bit, didn't he?
Yeah,
he did.
But it was funny because he kind of like didn't lose character, right?
No, he didn't. He didn't.
Which is, I mean, that's just awesome on his part.
Because, yeah.
I mean... I think I'd have probably just flipped off flipped off the switch and like turned into some vicious. I don't know.
Human being.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, like protected myself and like throttled this dude.
Well, I wonder if for a moment if he didn't know if it was part of the act.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point.
But I can't imagine. You know, I follow this stuff, and obviously it's all incredibly detailed and scripted. But like, I can't imagine that any promoter, anybody that runs one of these wrestling league, so to speak, would have anybody, let alone a star, like a star approached with a level of physicality without that star knowing that that's coming.
Yeah,
and that could be a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, there's no way that they would have.
I don't think so. But so what do you think? I thought that LeBron was going to get two.
Yeah, I thought he was going to get one.
You
thought he was going to get one. Interestingly, though, I don't know if he was teammates with J.R. Smith when this happened. You remember the J.R. Smith one?
I do.
And he got two games, J.R. Smith did. It was almost exactly the same.
Was that with Jay Crowder?
Yeah, Crowder. Where it was the same motion. Like, he's going for the elbow. And
yes.
Elbow misses, and he hits him with his hand. It wasn't – Jay Crowder was not fouling J.R. Smith.
No, he wasn't.
Maybe that's the difference.
And I thought I thought JR's arm extended a little bit more.
Yeah, it definitely did. It definitely did because it had to. Because he wasn't right next. He wasn't like up under his armpit.
That's true.
You know, like Stewart was. So he kind of, in order to reach him, he kind of had to extend. And so maybe that's why. But J.R. Smith had a very similar incident. He was fined two playoff games. BD.
Yes.
That this happened in. So yeah, the precedent was two. Which is why you would, you know, smartly suggest LeBron should get two, but they only gave him one. And a lot of that's probably because it's LeBron. And he wasn't escalating. Like, it wasn't like there was something, I don't know, there wasn't like there was like an animus to it. There was nothing that happened that precipitated it either. So it just kind of, it was LeBron being frustrated, trying to make a point. And he tried to go over and apologize. Stewart was having none of it. And then Stewart ended up going crazy, which obviously led to his enormous fine and two-game suspension.
You know, by the way, if the Lakers lose tonight, they're under 500.
Yeah.
There'll be 9 wins and 10 losses if they lose to the Knicks at the Garden without LeBron James tonight.
I mean, there's a good chance that happens, BT.
Yeah, Knicks are actually favored by 6.5 or 7 points. I'm not really sure why.
Yeah, I mean,
the team that I've been watching, I don't see them giving 7 points to the Magic have been beating them, let alone the Lakers.
I mean, interestingly, they're both 9 seeds, the current 9th seed in the East and West, respectively. And, you know, but the Lakers, You know, it's funny because we talk about the Lakers and we're always, you know, we assume that LeBron James led teams are just going to find their way, right? Mm-hmm. It seems like they always have.
Because
you know, they always have, right? But at this point, I mean, LeBron James is, he's getting up there. And that whole, I'm going to pull it back together at a certain time at 37 years old, I don't know if it's going to, he's played eight games, BT. They're 18 in. He's played eight games, so he's missed more than he's played.
And what did he miss last year?
20?
I'm just throwing out a number.
Yeah.
Remember, it was a 72-game season.
No. 30? He almost missed 30, 27.
Okay.
So he missed 27 games last year. And, I mean, it might be getting to that point where this belief that LeBron James is always just going to figure it out is expiring. I'm not saying it's expired because it could happen, but the team also has a 37-year-old or 36-year-old Dwight Howard who's playing a lot of minutes. It's got a 37-year-old Carmelo Anthony who's playing a ton of minutes.
He's coming home tonight, right.
Teach. Yep, 33-year-old Russell Westbrook, but I still believe in Russ's
athleticism. I know what you mean.
Like, I'm not worried about Russ's athleticism, you know, at this point, but it's just
don't forget about Rondo.
Rondo.
He's got some years.
Right? It's just an old team, 35-year-old Rondo.
Did you say Dwight Howard or no?
I did say Dwight Howard. Okay. DeAndre Jordan's 33.
But, he's cooked, DeAndre Jordan. He's
right. So I just don't see it, man. Like some of those previous years, it was, yeah, but we got this young core that's coming behind him that's going to figure it out along the way. I don't see it happening this year, BT.
I'm with you. I cannot dispute that. All right, coming up, Teak, let's get the update from Ack. How about a little Chargers talk, a little AFC West? This guy used to play for the Broncos. We've had him on the show. Chris Harris. All right, Odell, new teammate, Robert Woods down. They haven't looked good the last week or so. So where are the I'm talking about the Rams here. So obviously Harris is on the Chargers, but we'll talk. That's why I said the AFC West, my bad. We'll talk about that, and we'll find out, you know, what they're a team that also needed a win this past weekend, which they got. Herbert was great. So a very congested AFC West, Harris now a charge. We'll get his thoughts on where they are and where they're going after Axe Update, which is right now. Here's Rich.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Time for the Defensive Player of the Week, brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more, NavyFederal.org. And how about Sunday's 22-13 upset win over the Titans? The cornerback for the Texans, Desmond King, had a couple of picks, 8 tackles, and Houston's defense as a whole was money. They picked off Ryan Tannehill 4 times, so Colts Cully and crew get win number 2 on the season. All right, Teak and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. No TV. Teak, we're off. You are off. Are you off Friday? You are off Friday, right?
I am. We're both off Thursday and Friday. And you're heading down to Dallas mañana.
Yeah, man. We got a couple of things going on, so we'll have a nice chance to plug in with the fam and eat some food and obviously give thanks for still being here. It's been obviously pretty brutal the last 2 years with everything going on, pandemic. And, you know, I mean, could easily say this at the end of the show, could easily say this at the beginning of whatever tomorrow's show. But appreciate all of you that have hung with us here. And, you know, when there really wasn't a whole lot to do, you know, Teak and I were just having conversations and many of you were listening to them and engaging on social media. So if we were giving you a little outlet, you guys were giving us an outlet as well during a dark time. Know that. All right, Teak, we are joined now by a guy we've had him on the show a bunch. Terrific player, 4-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champ, first 9 years with Denver, last couple in La La Land with the Bolts. Coming off a win, Herbert was great. Chris Harris, corner. Chris, Tiki, and Tierney, how you doing, buddy? Welcome back.
Oh, doing good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Chris, good to see you. Good to chat with you again. I'd say see you again because we're not on TV and you're not in studio. So, but it's good to chat with you again. You know, it's interesting this season for you guys because it's been, I don't want to say it's been up and down because you're 6-4. You're in good spot right now with 7 games to go. I almost said 6, but 7 games to go. And, you know, we keep asking about Brandon Staley and what his mindset is like, how he is as a coach, because I didn't know who him going into this job. Now we've seen the success that he's bringing, obviously taking over, last season from Anthony Lynn. Tell us about your head coach and why he's been able to be so successful so early when not a lot of people have like a book on him.
Man, he's been huge. Just being able to come in and give us identity of how we're going to play on defense, understanding the game each week, that each week the schedule, the schemes can change each week to week, it's going to be battles. It's going to be battles every week. So I think he's done great being able to adjust and show that he can adjust on the run. He's had great leadership. Guys really buy into his philosophy. So we've loved him right out so far.
Yeah, no, and that's been the biggest thing. You got your former, really, your first team coming up this weekend. You're going to Denver. What's that going to feel like for you?
It's going to be huge, man. I'm so excited to play against them and to go back home to the Mile High and to kind of just, you know, go back and it's a rival game. It's a big game. AFC West on the line, so I'm excited about going there and having a good day.
Hey, Stu Getz, do me a favor. Let's repatch Chris in here. I want to make sure we have a better connection. It's definitely a little bit choppy, and it's definitely not good for us. I can only imagine what the audience is here, and I want to make sure we're able to have a nice, clean, smooth conversation with Chris. So we'll fire him back up. Yeah, that's got to be tough going into it. It's one thing if somebody drafts you there for a year or two. You know, he was there 9 years. You grow up in a certain city. I'm sure he had all these charitable endeavors, and then, you know, here you are. You're in your early 30s, nearing the end of a really, really good career. And almost a decade later, you're coming back. It's got to be awesome, but equal parts very trying on the sentiment as well, right, Teak?
Yeah, I can imagine it's a bittersweet type of feeling, you know, because it wasn't acrimonious. At least I don't remember it being acrimonious and leaving. I think it was just kind of like it became time, you know what I mean? And so new staff comes in. You're there for, I think he was a year with Fangio. Maybe he was. It was a year with Fangio. So new staff comes in. It just becomes time, right, to go on to a different situation. And, you know, it's rough, but it's also part of the business. And I think he's been around long enough.
Oh, he gets it.
He completely gets it.
There's no doubt. I believe we have Chris back. Chris, you're back with us, right, buddy?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My bad. This neighborhood can get kind of bad.
I got you. So, yeah. Listen, one thing is a Bronco. We're talking to Chris Harris, 9 years with the Broncos, 4-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champ, last 2 with the Chargers here. one thing that you always had, well, first of all, you had good teams in Denver for the most part, but you also had an incredible home field advantage. And that is one thing you didn't enjoy this past weekend, even though you guys won, as the Steelers infiltrated that. What was that like?
Yeah.
Man, it's really been like that pretty much all year, you know. So it's,
that bad?
It's something that, you know, the Raiders, you know, they packed it out pretty good. But who else did we play that was pretty it was a lot of Patriot fans, a lot of Viking fans. So it's just something that we just got to be prepared, be ready to go, and try to shut them up early.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we got to do. We just know that it's kind of – we got to approach the home games kind of a little bit almost like the away games and try to shut up their crowd early. And it doesn't necessarily affect us on defense as much at home, but it can get loud while the offense is out there on the field. So it does affect them some. From watching.
Yeah, I mean, Chris, does it feel like there's momentum at least heading towards the Chargers from a fan base standpoint? Obviously, from a team standpoint, you guys are playing great at times. But is there momentum from the fan base starting to like approach and accept this team? I know you've only been there for really a season and a half, but what's it like in LA for the Chargers?
Oh man, I think from the player standpoint, we love it. You know, I think you know, we're fighting for, you know, that security from the fan base, you know, with the Rams, you got the Lakers, you know, there's just tons of teams here, you know, and us competing with the Rams for that kind of spotlight, it can get hard, but only thing that can solve that is winning. And just unfortunately that both teams are good and both teams have a chance to be in the playoffs. So right now it's just kind of like an internal competition.
Hey, Chris, one of the things that Teague and I have talked about, it seems like every Monday we come in and we have to pour through everything as we structure the show, and we've got to, you know, come up with multiple angles on why, you know, two or three perceived elite teams lost. You've been in the league over a decade now. Have you ever seen it this topsy-turvy on a week-to-week basis where the teams that are supposed to be pretty loaded are not only losing, but either, you know, losing in an ugly fashion or losing to teams they have no business losing to?
I would say it's everybody, man. A lot of teams, especially in the AFC, it's pretty wide open. A lot of teams have a chance to make the playoffs. This last month, end of November, December, that's when the real football starts. So now we get to see where teams separate themselves. Teams haven't separated themselves. That's something that you usually see in the league. I think you see more of that in NFC than in AFC right now.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting you say it that way, Chris, because you're right. Like the teams that are, I don't want to say supposed to be good, but I will, supposed to be good, they just start to get really good as the season goes on. And we haven't seen a ton of that in the AFC. Is there a reason? Is it the young quarterbacks? Because there are a bunch of young quarterbacks in the AFC. You have one, obviously, as well. Mm-hmm. But you guys haven't had that. BT and I always keep talking about these letdown games. Like, how did the Buffalo Bills lose to the Jacksonville Jaguars? You haven't had that. I mean, you lost a good Vikings team, a really ascending Patriots team, and I think the Cowboys early. I can't remember who the other one was. But, like, you guys haven't had that season. What, is it because the quarterbacks are young, or is it because – is there something else we're missing?
I would say that a lot of young quarterbacks there, but also you know, it's just a lot of great competition now, man. A lot of teams are fairly even, you know, from division to division. There's a lot of competition, a lot of great young quarterbacks now compared to what it was when I first got in the league. You know, you had your elite quarterbacks and a lot of scrubs, but now you have more talent at the quarterback level. So it's adding more, there's not a lot of distance from team to team.
You know, Chris, we're going to probably wrap it up here. Not a ton of time left, but I want to throw something at you that has, you know, bothered us and obviously rankled fans every Sunday. You just take a look at social media. Everybody's going to weigh in on this. The ridiculous taunting rule. I mean, I know things have changed since you entered the league. There's been some tweaks, whether it's replay, whether it's what you can review, whether it's challenges. Things have evolved, and they always will. But, I mean, this taunting nonsense is a complete joke. Number one, do you talk at all? What do you see out there, the way it's actually being applied?
Yeah. Oh, man, I talk all game, and, you know, it's hard. It definitely changes the way guys have to play. how you, you know, celebrate. You have to really have a clear understanding and conscious of, I can't do this, I can't cross this line, you know, of what we could do in the past that could hurt our team. And we've seen it happen all year long, man. There's been plays, you know, that changed the game, you know, just a major taunting penalty, keep a drive going, you know, or just, you know, it just hurts. It can't hurt the game. And it's, you know, it's judgment calls. It's pure judgment of what that media or what that ref might think is a taunting compared to another ref, you know. Another ref might play in the NFL and understand that how we talk out there on the field, they might not think this is taunting, you know. So it's more point of view. So I see it's a major issue, man, just because, guys, it's hard to control your emotions on the football field.
No doubt. Well, Chris, listen, keep chugging along, man. 11 years, terrific career, champion, bunch of Pro Bowls, an All-Pro as well, All-Decades team. Chris Harris, thank you, buddy. Appreciate you jumping back on, Chris.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Be good, Chris. He makes a good point about the refs. I didn't even think about that. If a guy, like, played or at least had some inkling of what was actually going on.
Yes.
With the rhetoric back and forth, it's not taunting. It's just how guys are.
Yeah.
Right? And you probably have more of a feel of what's actually crossing a line and is taunting. Yeah. I never thought about it that way, but he's right.
He is right. Now, how many of the refs actually played in the NFL?
But maybe not even in the NFL.
You know, I get his point.
Maybe they just played in college.
Yeah,
or,
sure.
Right?
Sure.
They just played at a high level.
Uh-huh.
And so they get it. I don't know. I don't know. That's a good question.
I think they're all skipping leg day, though, because they're all jacked up on the biceps.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, there's a head coach of a team that's rebuilding that says, hey, we've got a long-term plan. We're not looking for a quick fix. Does a long-term plan even work anymore in the NFL? Next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.